brainstorming session.
Yeah, brainstorming session.
So, welcome to 121.
Am I Backdoor the only one who saw Jupiter Ascending?
Is it on Netflix? No. I will watch it when it's on Netflix.
I rented something from Redbox, and they had, you can have another movie for like a nickel. I'm like, all right, I'll pay a nickel for Jupiter Ascending. And I grossly overpaid. Grossly.
It's a shame because those guys make good movies.
They made three good movies. Sorry. I think
Bound, Matrix, and Speed Racer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Cloud Atlas, I thought was okay.
Cloud Atlas is tolerable. It's, you know, it's got moments, but overall, you're like, eh.
Yeah, that's true. And it was like 7 hours long.
Yeah.
I miss living in a town where there was a Redbox. In Sauk, it's like this weird universe where the Redbox is not at Walgreens. At least I don't think. And then they have a family video there, and it's like the busiest place in town. It's like I'm in the dark ages.
Yeah. Family videos are lucky enough because people still have Netflix and whatnot, but so they shut down like Blockbusters and all the chains, but you can still survive. Well, if you're just one store, you still get a lot of fucking business because there's still enough people who want
to
rent.
Yeah, if you're the only guy selling shit popsicles, you're going to be the biggest shit popsicle salesman ever.
And I've read other articles that the mom and pop shops who survived the big burst and still around are making just a fuck ton of money.
Well, sure, because Redbox and Netflix, I mean, there's gaps in what they have.
Yeah, they're limited collections.
Yeah, when Netflix was first around, it was really awesome because there were so many great movies. I think like the foreign films were what I really liked from Netflix when it first came around, and then all this contracting garbage started happening and cutting funds for their own their original series or whatever. And now it's just like, you really do, when I'm looking for a certain movie, I might not find it on Netflix, but I can understand how some of these other video stores are like, I feel like watching some obscure movie that I can't pull off the top of my head.
Well,
right,
that's now why I use Amazon Prime so much, is because A, it's not as good as Netflix, but it's getting better and better. But B, if it has a movie that isn't rentable, you can just say click here and spend $4 and just watch it immediately and not have to drive to the Redbox, which is a dollar cheaper, but I don't have to put on pants.
Right. Well, you don't have to put on pants to go to the Redbox either.
That's true. That's fair.
You just have to hope the police aren't staking that area out.
That's it. We heard there's people with no pants at the Redbox.
Yeah. Oh, that's a prompt.
If it's close to a Walmart, they're like, whoop-de-dick, happens all the time.
Yeah.
That's another poop or potato game you could play, pants or underwear.
Yeah. It's hard to tell sometimes.
It very much is.
And it's funny, like, you know, women will go out in bikinis and they're okay with it. But, like, if they go running down the street in a bra and panties, it's different somehow.
Well, it's because the lace just triggers different parts of your brain.
Not necessarily lace. Like, it could just be, you know, cotton panties.
I guess I live in a world where women wear lace underwear all the time.
Just constantly?
Yeah, just constantly.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Simple enough. News and announcements?
We should,
Jupiter Ascending was bad.
Oh,
that's
Jupiter, sorry.
Nathan.
Any other comments on it?
My favorite thing about it was that the security droids that all the aliens had, we were people with capes and luchador masks, and they had little T-Rex arms that were miniguns. And they just stomped around, and these little like stubby arms would come up, and they were miniguns, and they had fucking luchador masks on. And I'm like, what?
I don't think that was at the pitch meeting. Because then the movie probably wouldn't have been made.
I saw him a few times. I walk around, I'm like, are those guys in luchador masks? And Sean Bean does not die.
All right, so that's a movie. That's why it made no sense.
Yeah, it made no fucking sense. Because not only it's Sean Bean, I'm like, okay, well, he's going to die because he's
also the mentor part, too.
He's the love interest's mentor. I'm like, okay, he's got to die.
Yeah.
Doesn't die, but then he betrays him. And I'm like, he's the backstabby guy. Now he's totally going to die. And then he redeems himself. And I'm like, well, when villains redeem themselves, they die so they can prove their redemption is valid.
That whole martyrdom thing, you know.
They do. Yeah. They kind of nod at it because at the end of the movie, like, somebody turns to him and surprised, like, oh, you made it.
A movie has to get a point for that. It'd be funny if he's like, yep, I made it. And then a plane crashes on. Yeah. If a piano had fallen on him after that, the movie would have been a masterpiece. Regardless of anything else that happened.
Safe. And I had so many questions. Like, they know Mia Kunis is a royalty from space because she doesn't get stung by bees. Like, she's just, bees don't sting her. And Sean Bean's like, well, bees instinctively can recognize royalty. And that's why you've never been stung by a bee. And she's like, Sean invited all these angry bees and they just won't sting her. And so I'm thinking, imagine Andy is a king. So these bees won't sting him. And so then I just punch some beehives and these bees are fucking pissed and they're coming at me. And then while they're stinging, Andy just goes, I abdicate my throne to you. Like, what happens? No. Do the bees speak English? Do they get that? Do their instincts kick in? They understand regal law? I think it has something to do
with actual royal blood.
Yeah, was she by birth or by marriage?
She's genetically identical to a queen who died 1,000 years ago.
So blood, maybe. Royal blood smells different. Maybe
there's paperwork if you have just so the bees have to, like, some bee has to sign the paperwork. What are and they communicate.
The bee has to sign the paperwork? Well, he has to witness it?
Yeah, he has to witness. A bee witness. And then they know.
Notary bee public?
Yeah. Then he just sends out a memo. He gets like in as a telegraph machine and beeps it out. Or buzzes out, I guess.
Buzz.
So fucking bad.
It's a shame. It looked enjoyable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've not seen it. I will. It will be on Netflix in the background while I'm on my computer doing something else at some point in my life.
What I said on my Facebook, because we almost saw it months ago, but we literally flipped a coin and the coin told us to see Seventh Son instead, which was atrocious.
Yeah.
And I would have never thought I would say this statement, but that coin was kind to us. That coin had mercy on us.
Where's the painter?
Yes.
Get back in your room.
Yes.
Yeah.
So bad.
All right. So that's Nathan's news.
I'm Andy. I play Retribution.
Do you now? Since when?
I've been playing Retribution for like the last like 6 months.
And Shadows still on Wednesday.
We played it at Oshkosh.
Well, in fairness, I've never seen you play a game in 6 months. You're usually just like hobby assembling there.
I watched him play like three.
Have you played on Wednesday?
Yeah.
He says he did last week. I don't believe him.
Two weeks ago
I did.
The one time you weren't there, you played
it. Okay. Yeah. You didn't do it last week. I wasn't there 2 weeks ago. You probably didn't do it three weeks ago.
I played against Kofoot and I got my ass handed
to me. Is that really a game?
Well, he lost it.
No. Actually, I have a picture of it. It is my glorious moment. I hit with... what the fuck is that? The Colossal for Retribution. Can't think of it.
Hyperion?
Hyperion.
Hyperion.
Yeah. I hit Hyperion.
I was going to say the other one, but I couldn't remember its name, so I ruined my joke.
No, not Hip. Yeah, not
Hip. No, not
that's,
Hip.
That's a character. The other one is...
The Eradicator.
God damn it.
Draggy McShooty Pants.
No.
Helios.
Yeah. Helios. But anyway, say your thing again.
I was playing with...
Ask what the name of the Colossus is again.
What's the name of the Colossus?
Is it Helios?
No.
Get it? Because that one's not out yet.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
I was playing with Hyperion, and Jeremy, for some odd reason, had a lot of his support troops all clumped together, and I hit him with the AoE gun that removes from play. And that turn, I removed from play the book, I removed Rupert, I removed the journeyman warcaster for the Protectorate,
Tristan,
and just a random choir member. That was off of just one AoE. I had very bad dice when I set Hyperion in to go kill off Krios. So yeah.
I overheard this. It was either I was there for it or I had overheard it confirm that it happened.
All right.
In a sidewindy way.
All right.
Yeah, but that was my glorious moment, is being able to remove
Was that at the Oshkosh event?
No, that was on Wednesday.
And I am either giving Denny one... I'm either going to play a couple games with Denny 3 to try her out, or my Crix are going on the shelf until Mark 3.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much done with Crix. I got to goof around with her a little bit to see if there's some spark. I mean, there's some neat stuff there, but I still don't think it's going to be enough. I think my Crix are permanently out until Mark 3.
You just have more fun with your Scorn?
Or just not that motivated by Crix.
That works too.
Well, and Scorn's got a lot of interesting stuff coming down the pipeline that just looks cool.
The best Crix combos don't interest me, and if I play in a tournament, I only want to be competitive, and it's a lose-lose situation for me. I can play... And not good Crix, it's still good Crix, but it's not competitive. I mean, I'm probably out of Crix for a very long time.
I'm having a brain fart. What is the next Scorn Gargantuan?
The Hydra.
Oh, yes. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah, my brain just... I couldn't think of anything. All I thought it was Bird for the circle. It's all my bird. My mind was Bird. And now it's Peter Griffin saying the bird is the word.
Word, yeah.
All right.
In my head.
I'm the other Brian, or whatever.
No.
Yeah,
other Brian.
Another Brian.
Inferior Brian.
I don't know about that one. Right now I'm playing
Beard
Troll.
Brian.
Yeah, Bearded Brian. Right now I'm playing Trolls, but I am on the opposite side of the other Brian. I'm the anti-Brian, because I am getting super stoked to play Crix.
Hey,
well, it's fun getting into something like you want to buy all my Crix for $1 million.
Actually, I just acquired a bunch of Crix to the point where I've like quadrupled the stuff that I've owned already, because he had a few things that I wanted and I was like, okay, well, I'll take the whole lot. And then I ended up like not looking at the rest of it. Now I have 50 Bane Knights and 60 Bane Thralls, and I've got doubles of casters, triples of some. I've got like 6 P Dennys. So
you got enough Crix for Travis to ask, are you trying to challenge me?
Actually, he I had asked him, I was like, are 15 Brute Thralls too much? And he was like, are you trying to compete with me? And I was like, no, I just really wanted the 3 female ones. And he's like, oh, I have 12 with the 3 females. And I'm like, keeping all them
I only have 9. Like, if I still kind of, I always kind of wanted for the two caster game at War Machine Week, the two caster event kind of has gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
Which is a
I
sad
thought they were going to bring it back.
Twin Towers, I think it's back this year. Yeah.
It was just a 1-year hiatus. Oh.
Because I was so tempted to bring in 18 of them for that event.
Yeah, I wanted to partner it up.
Well, the Sepulcher.
I'll be dusting off my old standby. I still dodged anybody with Backlash, but it'll happen.
I'm not even sure if I'm bringing
models. Can you imagine? It'll take you like 13 rounds to get your other caster to go turn on all those Vanguards.
No, you're just going in. It's Shay. He doesn't need Vanguards.
Yeah, so announcements? Anything else?
There's... Yeah, I do have some that are cool. One of them is like more of a personal announcement that might affect some other people, I guess. But GameholeCon had purchased Gen Con tickets for themselves to go, or whoever the entities of GameholeCon are. So they were getting rid of the 3 tickets that Gen Con gave to them. So Amanda and myself, I was pooping and was just like, oh, this contest, go ahead and find this thing. So we both won 4-day passes to Gen Con, which completely flipped my plans to not go there. So now we are going there, and that'll be a sweet time. I'm going to probably get into some Midnight War Machine events and try and sneak into some other tournaments and get drunk with some people and just see what happens.
All that is possible at Gen Con.
Yeah.
Come play Undercity with me.
I will play. I'm there to do a ton of stuff, so I'm super stoked because this is the first time I've gone to Gen Con.
2 weeks to Gen Con.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty awesome. This is the first Gen Con I've gone to where I haven't worked for a company there, so I'm pretty stoked to just be there as a free agent.
I love not working for people at Gen Con.
Yeah.
I've done that before, and it's so nice to be free the entire time.
Well, I did it for Weird.
I've been lazy.
The year before last when they first came out with their 2.0 stuff for Malifaux, and it was fun to be there. Like, I had a free hotel stay and a free passes, and like they paid me to work.
Wow.
So yeah, it was really legit for a budding company like that. But it was like 5 8-hour shifts in the 4 days I was there, and I didn't get to experience things the way I wanted to. And then I got to experience all of the Gen Con muscle trying to get me out when I was just trying to spend store credit with them. So it was frustrating. But at any rate, that's going to be happening. So that'll be really cool. I'm looking forward to doing all the fun stuff there. The other announcement that I have that might affect some people who listen is I've been really like chomping at the bit for somebody in lacrosse to like grab onto War Machine and try and raise a community there. And they just last week started a journeyman league of sorts. It's like a modified one, it sounds like, in at River City Hobbies in lacrosse. So they've got a new budding meta, or not a meta, a community that's coming up there. And I think on September 11th they have this thing called the Cooley Convention. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be Cooley, like Couli.
Not Hooli, like
no, not Hooli.
It's Cou.
Cou. Cooley.
Not like Cooli.
No,
like Cooley.
I don't think it's that. But I've been disconnected from lacrosse for a while, so maybe I am spelling it incorrectly. But they're doing that convention September 11th through the 13th, and they said they do want to have a War Machine event there. So I plan on going to that, depending on the day that it comes around, because Amanda's birthday is on the 11th, so we'll see what happens there. But it's really exciting. I look forward to being able to go back to lacrosse, because it's where I went to school, and it's a fun area. There's a lot of like interesting cuisine there. If you like Chinese food, it's like second highest population of Hmong Chinese in all of America. So the food there is amazing, and if you like going to the bar. I think Third Street holds the title of the most concentration of bars on one street in the entire world.
That seems odd.
Yeah,
it's like, even more than like the French Quarter or something. Yeah.
It seems odd, but that road stretches for all of La Crosse's downtown district, and three out of every four or five stores on a block, like on the front face of a block, are bars. So it's very difficult to find a store that or a storefront that is not a bar.
Hmm. And Wisconsinites do love to drink, so they I can understand it being able to support that many. I mean, and you live in La Crosse, so you want to forget things.
I mean, and there's three schools.
Yes.
So that's just an interesting bit that I came across. So I've been talking to the store manager there, and trying to have an exchange with their figurehead for their community, just so I can see where they're at and figure out, you know, how to prepare for when I go down there.
Cool. Pop, pop.
Six pack
this weekend, event number three. It's a 50-point Theme Force event.
Tier list.
Sorry, I get this confused. 50-point tier list
theme
event.
Theme tier.
List force event. 50 points must bring to Theme Force tier event lists. Can they be tier one.
Theme one.
It can be theme, whatever it is. I don't even know what you're writing anymore. It can be Theme Force one. It sounds like a movie.
Get off my list.
And there'll be plenty of. I'm giving away the Haley thing from Lock and Load is one of the random prizes at the end. To win that, you just have to finish the event, and it's the raffle prize.
Yeah, Can I finish helping the event for the raffle prize?
Also, I have two helpers this week. It's very exciting. You and Jeremy are helping me this weekend.
Oh.
I am very...
sounded disappointed.
One of my problems is I have a foot thing, and if I walk all day, it'll take me for a good week, and Gen Con's the next week, so I don't want to, like, I need to, like, not be that
You have
mobile.
A foot thing?
I have a foot. I have plantar fasciitis, which is just plantar's foot. It's not a big deal, but it's flaring up pretty bad right now. So it's like...
It's contagious.
Yeah, it's contagious.
But I play footsie with him constantly.
That is true. Yeah. That's my penis.
What?
surgery. Anyway.
That reminds me of
my foot would hurt too if I was stepping on my penis all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I have two helpers. It's very exciting. I will talk... I mean, obviously, I need a bunch of people to be there at 8:30 again to get the thing set up. We're going to dice roll... Whatever.
Bring a bagged lunch.
Yeah, bagged lunch or... Yeah. Where do we? Yeah, because dice roll at 10. I said, yeah, that's dice roll at 10.
Yeah.
Bag lunch. Oh, the other thing too is like it seems like Subway's pretty dead over there. So if you really want to eat out,
and the event goes, it'll probably last time it went to 9:00. So we'll start at 10 p.m. and we're gonna roll the dice until
10 a.m.
Yeah, 10 a.m. dice roll. We start the event. We are like 10:02 and the dice were rolling. So if you are late, that's your problem. And
I'm gonna bring some Kool-Aid pickles for people.
There
to
are
enjoy.
Literally between 3 and 6 minutes between rounds. I try to make it 3. Mm-hmm. I don't handle no excuse, no tolerance for any delays. It's just we move on.
Well, yeah, these things are going to take so long.
We have 5 rounds, dude. We just keep moving.
Just have to shove them together.
Otherwise, we're going to be there until 11:00 at night.
Yeah, and we're having an employee come in to work an extra hour early. We're having a different employee stay an hour late, so the store is being very generous to us. So Misty Mountain's being very accommodating.
That's good.
And then I think this event, I'm going to start taking a prelim of people what kind of t-shirts people want size wise. Because after the next event, after event four, I'm going to order the t-shirts. I mean, and then people will either have to pay when they get there, they get it for free. Because obviously, if you've gone to 4 events, you get a free t-shirt. 3 or less, you got to pay for it. But people who at the third event will know if they're going to be there all for all of them or have reached the limit. And then after 4, we'll have a better idea. And then I'll place the order hopefully the day after the 4th event. So in the next month, I mean, Andy can help me finalize the design. We have all the artwork practically.
Mm-hmm. Just have to put it together.
So it should be pretty easy.
I even have that back design already built.
Oh, nice.
It's already built. I just need dates.
The dates, yeah. People like free t-shirts. There's more posters. I mean, I give out a fucking insane amount of prizes for these things. It's fun. It's fun times. People will enjoy it.
And a lot of the prizes are raffles, so it's okay if you suck.
Yeah, multiple prizes are raffles at the end of the day. There's a raffle.
Bring Convergence, though.
We almost have 70. We're very close to 75% of people bringing Painted Armies last time, so there's a raffle just if you have a painted list. There's raffles just for being there. There's raffles for other things.
Do you use Rick's raffle for painting or marking your arc marks?
I was too lazy to write that down.
That's actually one of my favorites.
It is one of Rick's better ideas. He has very few, but this was a very good one of his. This was a good idea.
That program he started making and then stopped making was a good idea until he stopped making it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm working. But he only worked on it while he had a job he didn't like. Right. As soon as he had to do it on his free time, he's like, well, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know he really liked his job right now. But
he likes job. He hates his boss.
Yeah, that I can get that.
It doesn't have that boss anymore.
Yeah.
But, no, he also had the equipment he was using to develop it was given back to that company as well.
Speaking of computer equipment, I turned my computer on. My computer was on. I decided to go dual monitors. I bought two 27-inch monitors, which, by the way, were too big. I mean, I'm using them. I should have got 25-inch, but it's like, I get
27-inch monitors are fucking huge.
I thought I had 25 already. It turns out I had a 23, so I'm from a 23 to two 27s. Turned off my computer, plugged in a monitor, turned my computer back on, boot error. Spent 4 hours trying to fix the thing and failed. I was trying to get my computer going on Saturday. Then I got the Zim device for my PlayStation, which lets me use keyboard and mouse. That took me about 4 hours to config. After about 8 hours on Saturday, I was ready to punch a baby. I was so... Because you know when you're working on a computer and it's not working, you get more tense and more tense. Mm-hmm. So I'm working 4 hours on my computer trying to get the boot. I was like booting off USB drives trying to fix it. Probably was doing every fucking thing I could. And then I was trying to get this damn Zim device to work for my PlayStation, which I finally did after 4 hours. And it's beautiful. Keyboard and mouse on a PlayStation is... the best, but it was. And by the end of Saturday, I was like, I should not be this upset and this stressed on a fucking Saturday. This is a relaxing day. I should be happy right now. Like, I understand drinking again. I should. I miss out on all the ways to relax.
It's a shame you're immune to rum.
Yeah, I'm immune to rum. It is a shame.
I
drank rum all day. Nothing happened.
I demand proof.
Well, next time we're in Jamaica.
He's pretty sure he wasn't drunk.
Yeah,
all know drunk people never are unaware.
I just sat on the beach, drank rum all day, and I felt fine. That's all I know.
That means the rum was working.
I don't believe you at all.
I was in the shade, so it was okay. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah, rum doesn't work on me.
We can get you a coconut. And...
Hey, speaking of trips to Jamaica, you know what really sucks? A two-player game of Lords of Waterdeep when the other guy plays open lord and then just fucks you over and over again with attack cards.
If I was playing a two-player game, if someone played the open lord turn one, I would just like forfeit. Good job.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I waited until like turn three, but he just kept hitting me with attack cards, and I'm like, fuck it, and I quit.
Yeah. What's really great, too, is when you play a seven game of diplomacy, and one of the players just stops playing on turn two.
Yeah.
He's like, thanks for all this organization and plotting, and then we just...
Because we had eight people who were interested in playing, so I'm tempted to just say, fuck that game and start a new one right now with the other person. What I would also tempt to do if I do that is there's an option you can do to have anonymous players.
Okay.
So instead of saying, you know, Brian is France and Josh is England, it just says no names.
Yeah.
And so obviously that means you have to use in-game communications because you can't talk to people outside the game because you don't know what they are. But it makes it cool because then there's never any, you know, hey, let's all just team up on Travis because it'll be funny. It makes it actually
and
the game.
And I will
game.
Say, with Dan as a player, one of Dan's key strategies in the game. He's like, what's the funniest thing to do right now versus what's the proper thing? Because and I'm not saying that's bad. I've done that before. But Dan's always going to do that at some point in a game. So it's dangerous. So if you don't know who Dan is, it's even more scary for everybody else. Because who's Dan going to get goofy on this game?
So I might do that when I get home, is start another game with the set, the other, and then with Anonymous.
How long before someone says, hey, this is blah, blah, blah.
Don't do that.
It's a cool idea.
Andy's doing things.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm talking.
Yeah. All right. For your guys
so,
later.
Don't the dead outnumber the living like 12-1 or something on Earth? What's the math on that, Brian? You look like somebody who might know this.
Well, there's
it's
more
a statistic
dead
I've never
than
explored.
Living.
Right. So that's enough of a statement. There's more dead than living. So here's the thing with Jupiter ascending. Is they take a planet.
I was wondering where this was going.
They take a planet and they seed it with DNA so that humans, like they plant humans.
Okay.
Because humans have been around for like millions of years around space. Like we aren't just on Earth. So they'll find a shitty rock and they'll wipe out the dinosaurs and then they'll make humans evolve. Okay. And then like a million years later when the planet is like at the peak of overpopulation, like Earth is hypothetically right now, they come and they kill everybody and they take all their corpses and they melt them down into natural genetic material, which is their big resource.
Okay.
So they're investing, you know, what, 65 million years into getting 6 to 8 billion corpses.
Yeah.
It seems to me... you're better off, instead of doing this, and they do this secretively, like, you know, they hide their existence from the primitive planet, is just, like, put the people there, and then just every time like every day, just take all the corpses.
You're just like
a renewable resource.
You're just like you train every. If you create a civilization, you train them. You put them when the person dies. You put them in this basket, which just teleports up to them.
Yeah, you know, just be gods and be like, hey, your ceremony is putting corpses into baskets, and then they disappear.
Yeah, they disappear. They don't know they're turning into fuel. They just think, hey, it's good. They're going to heaven.
Yeah, and if you were just like that, has to be way more profitable than just you know. You treat it like livestock instead of like a crop. Like a crop, you fill the field and then you kill them all, and I get that. But livestock, you don't do that. Livestock, you keep the resources going.
Yeah.
This is like if you took a bunch of cows and you just fed them and fed them and fed them, and you waited until there were enough females and they were all full of milk, and then you killed them all and took their milk. It's like, just milk them.
We need to start an evil empire, Nathan.
I just don't get it.
I'm scared to know what you're trying to... What is this from?
That was Jupiter Ascending. That's what the bad guys do. That's their business. They run the family business of seeding planets with humans and then wiping them out a million years later to take all their corpses.
Bad guys are dumb.
But it isn't just like these... Like, that is the biggest industry. Like, that's like being a family who's in the oil business in their universe. It's just... Because there's so many planets that there's functionally infinite of every other resource. You know, there's plenty of gold, there's plenty of diamonds, there's plenty of mercury, there's plenty of everything. The only thing there isn't plenty of...
Is there plenty of unobtainium?
There's tons of unobtainium. The only thing there isn't plenty of is life. Like, you know, to be immortal, you have to use this genetic material to refresh yourself constantly, and they get it from harvesting humans.
Gotcha.
But I'm just saying, just harvest it consistently. Don't wipe out planets.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially because not only
you should
does
write
it
a letter to the oil. You know, if you're like a kid in the family, you're like, guys, I got an idea for our future investments. You're gonna love this. Like,
yeah,
you got a promotion and everything.
Well, and then it's just not just morally, but financially, it's just way better.
And someone would have assassinated you because that was they were mad and stole your idea and credit.
So dumb.
So was that being grumble?
Do you guys want to talk about your Who's the Boss briefly? We didn't get to do it last week.
I have one topic that probably won't take a long time.
I mean, Who's the Boss was cool. Hooray. Raised money. People had fun.
I think, did we talk about...
I ate a burger that crunched.
I think as far as Who's the Boss for me, I want to say I talked about this, but I can just go through the rounds and the casters, and I'll just do the little
that
highlights.
That sounds like a very long...
No, it'll be really short. Trust me, I did
feel
horrible.
Like we did talk... But maybe I we just like talked we about it like on Wednesday said, in the random group, because it sure as fuck wasn't a podcast, last week we didn't podcast.
Probably not. I know that round one I got Vyros, P-Vyros. It was really cool. He has a lot of neat spells. I mean...
You were trolls.
Yeah, trolls with an armor buff is sweet. I did some work. I got killed because I didn't pay attention to what I was doing. Round two, I rolled a jackpot, and I took Butcher 3 when I really wanted to. I should have thought about it and took Striker, but I only had, 10 seconds or
Carver.
Something.
Carver. Troll jackpot is
yeah,
Carver.
Yeah, batten down the hatch.
Batten and mobility.
Pretty, yeah.
Batten and mobility.
Seems really good. So I went up against Rick, and he double-crossed me. I double-crossed him back, and then I just was like, whatever. So I took Ossian, and then emergency respawn into Anson Durst, which was awesome. And I actually almost out-attrition Butcher down to, his last few models. And then I accidentally lost on Scenario. But I think those were the big ones for me. Aurora. Aurora is an awesome troll caster. I wish we could get her. She was really good. Like, Transference on Warders is legit. And True Path is awesome. And her feat was really cool until she missed fours to hit a great bear and then almost died.
Digmies have point blank, correct? Not gunfighter.
They have point blank.
So Transference would work on their guns too. Yep. Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. I got to probably one of the biggest highlights for me from Who's the Boss was sitting down with one of the local Madisonians, Malachi, the little guy.
Yeah.
And talked to him for a while because I work with his uncle, and we just had a conversation that way. He seems like a legit kid, and it was nice to be able to sit down and talk with him because I think sometimes maybe at events he might feel a little out of his element.
He's taller than when he started playing this game.
He's hitting his spurt.
He's 13, so...
I don't think Transference works with the guns.
It's melee attacks.
Yeah, and point blank.
But I think the gun specifically says it cannot be boosted.
The damage cannot be boosted. It's transference not boosted is the hit roll.
I think it's not boosted from the charge. That's correct. What they try to
It might be boostable.
Across.
You know, it's boostable in general, or at least you can get additional die because Mandrak 2's spell works on it, doesn't it?
Additional die is, Bloodlust, but, yeah. But I don't believe boostable works on
it. Well, it's irrelevant anyway because transference is on to hit, not on the damage roll. Or it might be on both, but I'm talking about using it to hit.
Yeah, that's... I threw two warders into Pikaia, and I needed after Fel Calling, I think I needed sevens to hit.
Yeah,
sevens. I think that's right. 9, 2, or 16.
But I think it doesn't specify in general. I think it just says that it does not gain it from a charge. I think that's how point blank works.
Mm-hmm. It was a good time, and Andy's food was amazing.
Hooray.
I didn't hear anybody get sick like the last time, though. So
I'll get cancer
I did
later,
get sick,
so.
But you not did? From your food.
Oh.
Somebody gave me some nasty bullshit that kept me out of... That's why I couldn't come to the podcast, because my throat looked like somebody rammed a hot iron down it.
Hmm.
And I just couldn't talk.
I think it was a happy accident. I liked our little video game get together.
That's fun.
I'd like to do that more often if we can.
Now we have to do the foot the stuck five that game that's free game on the PlayStation Network. Robo Soccer. Robo, it's a Robo Soccer game. It's soccer with cars.
What?
You play, it's a free game on the PSN. If you have PS4, it's a free game.
I thought
game
we were
of
supposed
month.
To play Planet Side.
Well, I'm playing that constantly. I'm just saying, but you can split screen the Robo Rally. You can four player split screen the game.
Well, we should do that.
Yeah.
Well, what we should really do is four player same screen Towerfall sometime.
Yes.
But
well,
that was one nice thing about what we did is I learned that unlockable characters existed in Towerfall.
Yep.
So I went home and it took me a while, but finally, like 20 minutes before coming here, I finished unlocking all four characters and all four hidden levels. So.
Oh, nice.
Because one of the characters to unlock is completely fucking random, and so that took hours of grinding. Which is probably more investment than it was worth, because literally it's just a palette swap. Like, it's not like they have different abilities. They're just different colors.
No, it's guys with arrows. And
but god damn it, I wanted it. And now I'm tempted to buy the expansion, because the expansion comes with a character, and there's 9 more unlockable characters.
Nice.
Something wrong with me.
Yeah, no, I think us doing the co-op streaming was actually kind of fun. I like that a lot.
So we have a topic then, or what's the next thing?
Well, the topic that I had was with this whole lacrosse thing happening, they have a tournament that's going on for their league next Sunday. It's a 15-point tournament, so I excluded myself. Plus, I don't want to go when there's a bunch of people starting anew. And it kind of got me thinking about butterfly metas or butterfly community. I keep seeing meta and community interchangeably, but I know they're not.
I'm pretty close.
Yeah. The thing
just
that I was like
here.
The reason why I was comparing to a butterfly because like you touch its wings and then it doesn't fly. So I'm thinking of like
you're gonna touch people?
No, me as a wow. I could touch people. I mean, you never know what'll happen after a couple beers in lacrosse. But like myself wanting to bring people to the tournament from here and wanting to engage their community through War Machine as well. It makes me think, how do I go about actually playing in the games? Like, do I handicap myself with my list because they're new? Because a lot of these people, like, they're like most metas, and they don't have a Scorn player, they don't have a Troll player, so somebody's going to get Mullet Karned, and you could probably ride E-Doom Shaper all the way to the top of their tournament. So it got me thinking about, how do you approach growing communities, but still want to, like, actually have fun while you're doing
it's
it?
It's a good question, because like, Madison, we consider since we're an established community, when we get a new player, we just beat them down, and if they can handle it, they stay around, but it's hard to when you have a growing thing. To
exactly.
You kind of have to gauge it per player. As they come in, I mean, you Mullet Karn them, if they're like, oh, fuck this game, I'm done, then obviously that was not the path to take, and then you have to try to reel them back in a little bit. But if they're like, holy shit, that was, you know, that how did that happen? And then that's more the learning process of the game. It's learning how to prevent yourself from being Mullet Karned.
And they're the ones who are going to steer on long-term anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the ones that just come in, I guess, really just for the fluff that you can't tournament style them.
Mm-hmm. Because I know, like, when I was looking at some of the very few pictures they had posted in their new group, I had noticed that like one of the games was the Retribution Battle Box plus Mage Hunter Strike Force against like Venathrax, who only had him left on the table, and I was just like, Venethrax is an interesting place to start off at. But so I wanted to bring Crix to their next event that happens, and I'm just like, how do I do that? Like, I think I'm going to build a Scavarus list and then maybe a Gorshade 2 if I play against somebody who I might be able to turn up the heat a little bit on. So just that's kind of like the trajectory I was going down, was like, how do I
Yeah, I mean, you can take it as an opportunity to kind of put on the kid gloves and try out some weaker things. You know, like you said, Scavarus is, you know, generally considered weaker, or even not necessarily just the caster, but just
how you have to build it.
More suboptimal combos, you know, bring Scar 2 with Black Ogryn or something, I don't know.
But yeah, her ships in the night or whatever.
Actually, that's not bad with her, because she's the one with Black Spot, isn't she? Or is that Scar 1?
Yeah.
Two is Scar 1. So that's a bad example. The point was, you can bring some lesser brought stuff that doesn't necessarily synergize, and by doing that, well, it's kind of like there was the when the tournament up by you, when we first started doing this, and we went up there, and we're like, it's kind of a new meta, so we all just brought our off factions.
Yeah. Well, not everyone, but it's...
But in stuff like... Well, even like Jordan Ack showed up and he brought Gunbjorn,
yeah,
you know, and whatnot, because... And he's just obviously well-known as being a hyper-competitive person, and he brought Gunbjorn, because he's like, this is a new meta.
Yeah.
So not only, you know, does this then not just beat people's souls because I brought Haley 2 or Gatsby 2 or something, but it also...
And I told my roommate, Jordan, our Jordan, that he was not allowed to take anything competitively.
Because
he wanted to bring in this meanest stuff. I mean, I have traveled in a car people to a new meta and just rolled them.
Just like Vikings, you just invade.
Yeah,
and
we've
just
done it. Typically, when it's like a smaller community out of state that we feel like driving to, we'll just fucking annihilate them and then we'll come back home. But this was close enough to home that we were like, you know, we don't want to murder these people. Yeah.
And it kind of has a double advantage, because then you get to practice with stuff as well. Mm-hmm. It actually improves you, because it's kind of like the whole, you know, fencing with a willow switch. You know, it improves you as a competitor, because you're kind of hamstrung.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was getting at, was like hamstringing yourself, and then and I think Brian kind of answered my other part of the question, was like, do you try to get the other people that you're bringing with you to tone it down also?
Because if they don't, and like there's two of you in a car, or there's four of you in a car, and two bring the simple list to be fun, other two bring competitive lists, well, you could get paired with those two people, and then you just get slaughtered by them, and then they feel special. Like, well, I just got, you know, it gets annoying.
Oh, I beat you, Brian.
Yeah,
because I brought nothing.
Yeah, you're like, exactly. Which is just a game. It can be annoying when you have to sit down and take it for 90 minutes because they brought, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I guess the other thing, too, is also be very educational, or just educate your opponent,
too. Yeah,
educate, too.
Yeah.
Try to really avoid any kind of gotchas, because it's so frustrating as a new player.
I explain there's a lot of rewinding in casual games. Obviously, in tournaments, you can't do this in much, but, you know, somebody does this, and you're like, okay, so on my turn, I do this, this, and this, and this, and now Malak Karn just fucking annihilated you. So let's rewind to your turn, and if you try moving 3 inches more to your right and casting Admonition on yourself, because will prevent this from happening.
And unless you know the person well, I've seen people try to explain. I've seen a game
some
happen,
people get pissed when
and
you some do
like
that.
Don't tell me how to fucking play. And they might not know a damn thing, but they really don't want you telling them what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But more times than that's a good idea. But you have to kind of gauge the person before you try that.
Yeah, you have to tell them that you are going to play the game this way, and see if that's what they want to do. Say, hey, if you'd like, we can just, you know, I can give you infinite takebacks after showing you why they're bad. We're going to treat this as an educational system, not as a game.
I would be like, if somebody moves something like into something, they're like, oh, by the way, my guy has this. If you're moving him there, that'll probably kill him.
Yeah, making sure they know what those triggers are. Because, like, if they don't play against Admonition or Watcher and they move something, you could really screw their game plan at... In their world, Admonition and Watcher don't exist.
Yeah.
As with any social context, you have to make sure you're on the same page.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, just be friendly and just relax and don't be intense. I mean, you can beat someone in a relaxed way and they're still kind of having fun.
Mm-hmm. And you can lose to somebody like an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, they're not linked.
Yep.
Like everyone who plays against me.
What I find, too, when I play in a newer meta, my opponent is going to make 75 mistakes. And if I correct all 75, they're going to stop caring. So I tried during the game, I'm like, okay, what are the worst things they're doing that's bad for the game? And then I'm like, well, by the way, you know, I try to correct 4 or 5, and then I kind of just stop.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be the guy's like, you do that. I mean, eventually you're just like, whatever, move your shit around. But just, you know, this is this way, and this is this way, and then, okay, whatever is whatever. But I, you know.
You can also maybe identify, like, those punishing teaching moments where it's not like I'm going to totally cripple something, like take out the only heavy you decided to bring, but like you leave one guy up and he's just in a spot where he's going to get roasted and it costs you absolutely no momentum in the game.
Yeah.
You can just, like, do it and say, this is, you know, something that you can watch out for. Maybe, like, just, like, get those little educational things going on. I had a thought, and I just lost it. Damn it.
But, yeah, it's...
Cool story.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's moments that are like there's moments in a game that feel like Christmas. You know, your opponent does something, you're like, oh my god, that's literally the best possible thing they could have done. You know, like for example, if you're playing with Strike Force and your opponent casts Batten, and you're like, oh my god, that's just fucking Christmas because they just gave themselves -2 defense and they gained nothing armor wise because of how Mage Hunter worked. Those huge holy shit, that's the greatest thing ever moments are really the big mistakes that they probably didn't understand. Because they're new.
They don't understand sidesteps. Yeah. They put something within 2 inches of...
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, they put their caster safe from Malkarn, and then they run a random choir member exactly 2 inches in front of their caster in the middle of the field. You know, yeah. Those Merry Christmas moments are the ones that are most worth pointing out. You know, little tactical errors, like just when to shield wall or having their guys clumped a little too close for AoEs. I mean, okay, yeah, they'll learn that. But just, you know, I'm doing fine, and then this one guy moving to this one spot gives the game away. Those are the ones I try to really call out.
Yeah, I guess I picked it up now. Using your turn to try and teach them things, too.
Yeah.
Like, when I first learned in this game that killing your own guys could be tactically beneficial, like, my whole world changed.
Yeah.
And then another thing that I see people doing, because a lot of these folks are coming from, like, the 40K and fantasy, like, group that was in lacrosse. And
they're not playing Sigmar?
No, they're not. It seems like that law... Well, like, the social... climb of lacrosse started out as a very what's the word I'm looking for, pretentious fantasy group. They were like the one place in all of America that had this massive fantasy following, and then they started to push a little more towards 40K, and it there was a game store that closed, but they're kind of mostly 40K now, and now all the fantasy people are kind of going over to War Machine. But at any rate, damn it, fuck my life today.
Well, you are 75 years old, so you are somewhat you know, dementia setting in.
It's great. You are rolling on the train, you're on the tracks, you're going, and then shiny.
It's like I'm playing DDR all over again. Oh man.
What?
I used to play.
You forgot things in DDR?
No, what would happen is
you're like, where am I? Who am I?
No, I'd be playing and I'd be watching the arrows go up and I'm just like stomping it out and I've got massive combos going. And then my body just says, fuck it. And then I just stop and lose right away. Like, I don't have like this downhill climb where it's like, oh, you can see he's struggling. I'm just
one
of those people.
You miss one and then you seize trying to get back into
the
pattern.
Once the stock market crashes, I'm one of the people who jumps off the roof right away instead of trying to fix my life. So, yeah, that's kind of how that turned out for them. I'm picking up on the gaming thing again.
They jumped off a roof?
Yeah. No, they all jumped off roofs. And
I'm one of the people who kills myself. That turned out.
Someone needs a flowchart that.
You missed your segues there somewhere. Yeah.
I know. Well, I was hoping to just kind of come back into it. I'm a very abrupt person. So, that's how their climb into different games ended up going around. But, no, I think there's a lot of opportunities to teach people while you're playing. God, fuck me.
I give up.
All right. So just do it on your time is probably the best way to go about it, too. Yeah. Kind of explaining
that's your
like
point.
How your players go.
You started to say something about fantasy, and then you lost the world.
I did. I did lose the world at that.
Just like fantasy players.
And melt with you.
Yeah.
It's all good. What? All right.
And says stop. In the
well, I think we have. I think there was a good discussion, though. I mean, I think we got over a lot of stuff. So, I mean,
yeah, and it wasn't.
Now we're gonna see.
It wasn't painful until the end there. Like everything.
Good job. I didn't think it was painful.
I mean, now it is.
it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
No, I don't know what it is.
You should try talking some more.
So I do talk a lot.
So did you Zappity Grumble us then, or are we just doing right?
No, we had Zappity Grumbles.
Yeah. I don't have my phone with me.
I got the Facebook things.
All right, we're ready in exactly 14 seconds. So for 14 seconds, just do like a doo-doo sound.
I'm ready now.
Exactly. Do Facebook.
Who's doing Facebook now?
He's doing Facebook. I'm doing tweets.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Will Han, Will quote the Pip unquote Han, asks, do you trust Facebook? Fiona or Jack. Hail to the King, baby? What?
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 Do I trust Fiona or Jack?
Hail to the King, baby.
That's like the way my trajectory went on that was Fiona the Black, yeah. Jack from Mass Effect, and then Duke Nukem.
Is it See, Jack I went Black?
To, I went to Jack from Hyperion, Handsome Jack.
Yeah, I
don't
did,
trust
a,
him.
For, I get, must have a Mass Effect bug.
Cancer.
Is there a Fiona in Mass Effect?
No, it just started at Fiona the Black, and she's kind of... I saw somebody paint a tattoo on her face once, and it went to Jack, so it all ties together somehow. All
right.
Speaking of Hail to the King, baby, I had the biggest erection of my life watching the trailer for Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
Who has a...
So excited
who
about
Who has stars
that.
In our group?
I have Showtime because it's on Hulu. Does that count?
I think no. if Charter has a thing where you can like use somebody else's Charter account to hook up like HBO Go does, I have access to Stars in that light.
If Stars has, I would love to.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason I'd want to get Stars.
Zappity.
Who's the best dressed out of the cast? This is a depressed. This is tallest of the midgets right now. Oh my god!
I'm at least bringing the podcast. I got a Zappy Grumble T-shirt.
I'm classy.
I'm color coordinated.
With swimming trunks.
I just made my trip to the fat guy store the other day, so I am stunting like my daddy.
The plain T-shirt and the black checkered pants. That's nice. That makes me think of Scavenger
I lost
Hunt.
The pocket. Like all my T-shirts have pockets, so like I thought I was going to lose my phone because it always sticks there. But
the worst thing about fat guy T-shirts is that the pocket, like they don't. It's
always
down
in an
here.
Awkward. It's in an
it's,
awkward
it's down
spot.
By your belly button. It's like, why the fuck would I want a pocket? Like, you skinny assholes making these shirts, the pocket needs to be way higher than that.
Yeah, that they. It's that whole one size fits all thing. Yeah. It doesn't work.
So no, we all lose.
Yeah. Well, you've got the 1990s T-shirt with the Hawaiian shirt over the top of
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
that's classic.
I love it.
And then Andy's got the Zappity Grumble shirt.
Zappity Grumble with swimming trunks.
Swimming trunks.
Yeah, I'm wearing swimming trunks.
Right, that's a little legitimate.
They're shorts.
What are you wearing?
All right, what's next?
Name and effect of each of your real life feats.
What?
Name and effect of each of your real life feats. If you feated in real life, what would happen?
I would procrastinate. And that's the effect.
Lose your next turn.
Yeah, I just lose my next turn. Yep. I just, yeah.
I would have all of my own stats and skills and everything go to zero, and I would not be able to perform any attacks or any actions because it would just be called wasted potential, and I would just accomplish nothing with my life.
That sounds too close to my feet.
I'd be, you know, genius level IQ and drop out of high school, hypothetically.
No, that sounds way too close to my feet. My feet is basically... So your feet is basically do nothing.
No, mine isn't do nothing. Mine is do terrible things that waste any possible potential in my life.
That sounds very similar to procrastination.
Actually,
as well.
It sounds sadly accurate.
That's I'm being accurate. It's real life.
I know. Yeah. It's depressing.
It's like I could have... This is a showing of my wonderful feet.
Yeah, that's true. Because yours is do nothing. Mine is actively destroy my
mine
life.
Start diet, gain 30 pounds.
That's how diets work.
Yeah.
I think Oh,
go ahead. I was going to point out what was wrong with my feet is you guys recorded your game for that we're going to be recording the audio after the podcast here like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I thought we were caught up on battle reports.
Oh my god, were there previous ones?
There's two previous battle reports.
Well, there's the
pooper
potato ones that we live streamed, but we never did after commentary, did we?
I think we did after commentary for one of them.
Okay.
One of them you did. I know it was with Troll Jeff and Dan.
Yep. And then I also did the commentary for Josh in my game, too.
And then you and Nate did Brian and Brian.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that one's there. But there's two battle reports sitting in the bucket, waiting to be made.
Well, there you go.
And there's also a movie Pain Train that I just
maybe you should upload those.
I should upload
and hook up the camera.
Well, yeah. All right. So what's other Brian's?
Oh, my feet. I thought about this for a minute, and it's great.
We stalled for you.
And enemy models in my control area have to charge me, but lose their initial attacks and get neg 2 defense.
What?
I walked into the Baraboo game store the other day, and some of my gamer friends had their non-gamer friends in the store, and they were enjoying a game of Cards Against Humanity. And I went off enjoying Cards Against Humanity. I went off on how much I hate that game and immediately sucked the fun out of every single one of those people. They didn't even want to drink with me. They were so mad at me. So I figured my warlock would be like, make some kind of crazy taunt or like ruin their dreams. I really should start playing Age of Sigmar is what this all comes down to. But then they charge me and they're too distracted at trying to defend their points and why what I said was stupid that they get distracted.
Well, there you go.
In quotes.
If I played Age of Sigmar, I would literally just field that one model.
Yeah, and then just break everybody's will.
Yeah, I mean, I would just like start the game, I'd set that model down, and then I would just tear into them for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Until they do something.
And then after the game's over, I'd just be the nicest guy.
Yeah, just be like, oh.
That's game mechanics.
As soon as you break them, as soon as you're like, so I heard you can't have children, and your wife slept with your best friend, as his like kids crying in the corner, and then you're just like, they look at you so terribly with all the fire and hatred in their eyes because everybody knows it, but nobody says it except for you. You're the asshole. And they just break. And you're like, sweet, rerolls. Let's go.
Okay, buddy. Hey, you want a Snapple?
So does on me.
Okay, what else is there?
Did you do yours?
No, I got mine.
Your feet.
Yeah. I said,
start diet, gain 30 pounds. Would you rather play against Body and Soul every round of a tournament or several Haley 2 builds all tournament? So just Body and Soul or Haley 2 in different forms?
As a would I know ahead of time?
That's a good question.
Because I know ahead of time, I'll take Body and Soul all day and night.
Yeah.
With my current pairing that I use,
I'm answering Body and Soul either way, personally.
Yeah, with Runes and Kalandra, either are just a great game for me. I fear no Haley with a bricky troll list, and I fear no Body and Soul with Kalandra.
Well, Body and Soul will be over. So either way, either Body and Soul you've built for, and you're going to be fine, or you're going to lose in 2 minutes. Either way, it's short. Haley games can take forever.
Or one of your casters has purification, and you didn't bother building for it, but you have purification.
Yeah.
In which case, you're still fine.
Even I think my Retribution might have a good chance against Body and Soul with the amount of magic attacks that I have.
Yeah. It's the pursuit is the big thing.
Yeah.
But I think we'd all rather face Body and Soul.
Yeah.
It's an active game, too. Whereas Haley, you're going to get the 2 turns where it's just stupid.
This is not a question. It's more of an announcement, but I meant to announce it, so this works. BoJack Horseman Season 2. BoJack Horseman Season 2.
And Rick and Morty
Season 2. And Rick and Morty Season 2 next week, right? Yeah. Yeah, but that's on the TV once a week starting, whereas BoJack Horseman you could watch right now, all of it. Right.
Yeah.
It's good. Fuck you.
I don't know what it is, so.
Haley, Fiora, Ashlyn, kill, marry, fuck.
What?
Kill, marry, or fuck? Marry, fuck, kill. Haley, Fiora, or Ashlyn? I'd kill Fiora.
With the arm, with the metal. Which Haley? The metal arm Haley? Is that hand metal?
She has attachments.
All right. Attachments. Okay, that's important to know.
Yeah, no, so I'm going fuck Haley. Yeah, because I've said that many times in my life, but with different vocal inflections.
And she's a time; she can mess with time, so there's probably all sorts of benefits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'd marry Ashlyn.
She probably whines more than
she
Fiona.
Probably whines a lot. But the thing is, she's got all the luck.
Fiona
and
won't
so
kill
all
me.
You have to do is but just Fiona, buy lottery
Fiona
tickets.
Fiona would probably kill me in my sleep.
Yeah.
Are you saying Fiona or Fiora?
Fiora.
Oh, Fiora.
Yeah.
Fiora.
That's hard. I see. I know.
She is pretty hot.
She also has that religious side, though.
Seems inappropriate.
I mean, I'm not a very religious guy, but
no, she's really hot.
Oh, really hot. Yeah, Fiora. Yeah.
All right, we got that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
I'm fucking tired.
Zappity.
Zap. All right, that's next. What's happening?
Yeah. Ruin, best Jack ever?
It's pretty good.
I'd say he is probably one of the better characters right now. I think Avatar is getting a run for his money.
All right.
So good.
Yeah. Death Jack is still really sexy.
We have 2 tweets.
Imperatus is pretty goddamn sexy.
He is.
I like the Kankerworm. I'm sorry. That was it for the Facebook.
All right. Tom Guan asks Zagara.
Zagara is awesome.
Yeah, Zagara is
awesome.
Oh,
man. So Plummer's right. Zagara is a really good character.
Yeah, is it Plummer? Yeah. No, actually, Plummer mentioned me. I asked him about that. It was like, too bad there's no plushy Zagaras out there that we could send you. He's like, oh, somebody's already sent me the code for her. Somebody bought it and gave it to Plummer.
Nice.
That's amazing. So good. She's so good. She might be my favorite right now.
She's easily one of my favorites.
I play her the most. I mean, I don't know if she's my favorite, but I definitely play her the most.
I finally started learning Tychus yesterday. Yeah. And
I need to play the free-to-play ones more to spread. Because she didn't just be my favorite because I played her the most. Hmm. I don't know. Because her and the Lost Vikings are the only two that I have up to like level 9. The others I just got to 5 and then stopped playing.
Well, 5 is good for the money.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good for the money, but then I didn't keep playing and learn if I really loved them or not. Like, I know I have ones that I fucking hate, but yeah. I don't have a lot that I super love yet. I have a lot that I'm like, oh, they're kind of cool.
Gotcha.
I like Asmodan. He's by far my favorite. Asmodan and Vala, I've got both picked up the epic skins.
Yeah.
For them.
All right. Sweet. And the last tweet is from James somebody. I never played Fallout.
Morehouse?
No. Sailors? I never played Fallout. Where should I start? Fallout 3. Well, I like Fallout 3 more than 4, but I would probably play.
You mean Vegas, not 4. Yeah, which is going to be double confusing because the next one coming out actually is called Fallout 4.
I would probably play New Vegas only because it's a slightly better control scheme than 3. And I can't play both because I spent 900 hours on Fallout 3, so I played New Vegas. I played maybe 300 hours. I mean, so I didn't dislike it because, I mean, I put 300 hours into it. But at some point, it was like, okay, I've reached 1,000 hours of basically the same game.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is 1 and 2 are very, very similar to each other. And they're very different from 3 in New Vegas, obviously. Huh.
This is where you should start. In a month, Mad Max will be out.
Yeah, play the... That's
play
true.
Mad Max.
Well, we'll see. I want to know because it could be just cheap shovelware.
Yeah,
it's always dangerous with tie-ins.
Yeah.
At least the reviews and the gameplay footage stuff that I've seen is pretty.
Pre stuff is pretty promising.
Yeah, if it's good, it'll be cool. But I, in all honesty, we can have a debate about 3 versus New Vegas, and I've had that debate 100 times with various people. Pick one of the two; it does not matter.
You're going to have a fun time. They're both super good games. End of the day, you're going to enjoy it.
They both have their strengths. They both have their weaknesses. You know, some people don't like New Vegas because if you go northeast, you just get fucked and blah blah and whatnot. And some people don't like 3 because the ending is stupid and so on. I mean, you can debate that.
3 without DLCs is a little disappointing. But when you add the DLCs in, extend the ending. But 4 has an ending that doesn't ever get modified.
The gameplay is super super similar. 4 has slightly better gameplay. 3 has a bigger world, but ironically, I believe it has fewer encounters in it, but a lot of people like the plot more. I mean,
there's a lot of...
they're both good.
Then if you get on the PC, there's so many mods that make either game look like either game. I mean, at the end of the day, there's a million mods. One thing cool about Fallout 1 was one of the first games that added player factions. So when you were in Fallout 1, if you started attacking people, people start hating you. Like, you could be good or bad. What was weird in Fallout 1, if you wouldn't do one city here and you killed everyone, every city everywhere hated you. So it was world faction.
Yeah.
2 was the first game that turned around, okay, this city has a different faction than this city. It was really fascinating to have all this, like, different, because you could play each area different based on how you wanted to.
I would say, apart from historical reasons, no reason to start with 1.
No.
I think 2 is strictly superior to 1 for many reasons. Like you said, they've fixed the faction thing because they're city by city as well as overall worldwide factions. Yeah. They're two different things. Also, 1, it's kind of cool if you know about it, and I guess they kind of warn it about it, but a lot of games say, oh, we need this MacGuffin or else our city will die. In Fallout 1, you're going and you're doing stuff and you're just exploring and you're doing things. All of a sudden, the game's like, well, your city died, the end. Like, you're in the middle of nowhere doing stuff. And in every other game ever, you have infinite time. Like, they say, oh, we need it quick or else we're going to die. In Fallout 1, you literally have, like, 30 days of in-game time. And if you haven't finished the main quest by then, your vault dies and you lose. Which I think is kind of stupid. I mean, it's interesting, but it's dumb.
The other problem with both those games is not the graphics. It is the interfaces. The interface in those games are really, especially compared to, that's why I don't go back to old games anymore. But Fallout 3 or 4, roll a die, pick one, go with whatever.
Yeah, only if you really like like the Baldur's Gate games, you can play the old school, like the Fallout 2.
Yeah.
Like Fallout 2 is a lot like a post-apocalyptic version of
and it's a top-down like kind of turn-based combat where 3 and 4 are more real-time battling.
Right.
With pause abilities.
If you like Skyrim, you should play 3 and 4. If you like 1990s D&D PC games like Baldur's Gate, you will like Fallout 2 and 1, but 2 mostly.
There you go.
I will test your theory because I've never played the Fallout games. The few times I've tried, I haven't liked them. I didn't like the Elder Scrolls series up until Skyrim. So I'm gonna put it to the test.
Well, one thing hilarious is like a lot of people like when Fallout 3 came out, they're like, it's just Oblivion with guns. I'm like, yeah, and that's fucking awesome. Like I didn't understand how people would say that sentence and intend it to be a negative review.
Yeah.
And recommendations. We've got some recommendations.
I'll do one since everybody looked at me, and apparently nobody else has one. I don't know why. I was reaching for my iPad that isn't here so I could show the thing. There is a game. It's not particularly new, but I've had it for a while. It's fun. Not everybody would enjoy it. It is not free. It does cost a few dollars, but whatever.
Fuck!
Yeah. Oh, no. It costs like $3 or something. But it's called 80 Days. And I know you can get it on the Kindle. You can get it on the iPad. I think it's on pretty much all of the platforms. But it's around the world in 80 days, you know, Phileas Fogg, his whole thing. It's you are his valet, and you're helping him. And so the whole premise of the game is that you need to figure out the routes to go around the world. And so you'll go, like, to France, and then you'll need to find, well, I can take a ship to here, I can take a plane to there, I can take a train to here, and you just need to try to get around the world within that 80-day time limit. And random events happen that fuck you over, and you need to, like, if you buy something in Paris, it might sell really well in Sydney, Australia. And so you're like, well, if I take the time to go down to Sydney, I could sell it for extra cash to fund these plane, you know, tickets and everything. And so it's got a cool little strategic game. It's pretty light. I mean, you know, it's not a lot of emotional investment, so it's good to just play, like, in bed when you don't care. It's also, for those who enjoy it, my brother does not enjoy this aspect of it, so he just clicks through it rapidly because it has pretty much no in-game effect. But in these cities, like, you'll talk to people, and on the train you'll talk to people, and the little cool little, like, choose your own adventure things where you can like befriend people, or you can have a boxing match with a guy and maybe win the boxing match and maybe not. And they have literally zero gameplay effect. But for those of you who like the choose your own adventure storytelling aspects, that's 90% of the game. The finding your way around the world is only 10% of that. And if you don't give a shit about the choose your own, the 10% is still kind of fun. And it's, you know, it's some strategy and interesting stuff. And there's achievements like visiting every country in the world or every city in the world. So you can play it over and over again and you try to beat your time. One trip would probably be impossible. But you can do stuff like my nephew, he cheated. He went straight up to the North Pole and then just went in a little circle and came back to London. So my brother and I just give him shit about how that's not fair and whatnot. So it's kind of cool. And it, as you're playing, since it'll be hooked up to the internet because that's how the world works, it'll actually show live updates on where other people are. You'll just see like other little things and say so-and-so is here on day 42 and you're like, oh fuck, I'll catch you so-and-so. So it's fun. It's worth a few dollars.
Sounds good.
My recommendation is that AEG use a little more creativity on their next installment of Smash Up. I hate Munchkin so much and I hate it with a passion. And that's the next Smash Up expansion.
Which
but
one?
I'm,
it's called
Munchkin.
Oh, okay.
That's what it's Munchkin.
Well, that's what it's not. It's just taking themes of cards. I mean, they're trying to grab Smash Up tries to grab all sorts of themes. So
exactly.
It's,
the thing that even makes me feel worse is I'm gonna buy the fucking thing.
Yeah. Well, because more Smash Up things is great.
Yeah. So that's my recommendation. Bring your A game next time.
Well, you know how much money they're gonna make off of having that though, because how big that game is. I mean,
yeah.
As bad as Munchkin is, it's got a lot of players. So having a Smash Up themed thing to another game is gonna bring up money.
The other thing is, like, I won't understand most of the references, so it's making me want to get extremely drunk and play Munchkin just so I understand what they're talking about.
Don't do it.
Yeah, you don't, or just don't play. You don't need to pick those decks for yourself.
There's a duck or something. The end. Like, yeah. just don't give a shit.
All right, Andy.
My recommendation is it's a series that's on FX. It's about midway through the second season right now. It's called Tyrant. It's something that sat on my DVR for the past year, the entire first season. I tried watching the first episode like about six different times, never made it through it until just recently when I finally made it through the episode, got to the end of it, and then I basically started binge watching it since then.
So just a rough first episode, or
I it well I wasn't I was doing other things at the same time. Like, I'd be playing WoW, and then I'd jump into a dungeon or something. Okay. So I can't do a dungeon and watch show at the same time.
So this isn't like a season one of Parks and Recreation thing where, like, the first one's weak, but if you get through it, it's rewarding? I mean, is it just that the first episode, or was it just Andy wasn't paying attention?
Andy really just wasn't paying attention, and it felt kind of weak as well. Okay. But
if people stick through it...
If you can make it through the first hour of the show, then it's good. Okay. But I mean, like, the ending...
So Jim won't watch it.
The ending of the episode is actually really good. It actually turned out, it was like, oh, wow.
Sure.
I can't believe I stopped this beforehand. But a quick synopsis of it. Think of Saddam Hussein.
I always do.
And his two kids.
Yeah.
Horrible kids.
Dweezil and Ahmed.
Yep. Yes, Dweezil and Ahmed. Yes. but think of if one of them actually went to the U.S., basically disowned his father, and became, you know, upstanding citizen in the U.S. Then he ended up going back there for his brother's son's wedding or something like that, and his dad dies. Horrible, basically, I think it would be Uday, would have been put into power, and then he's there trying to deal with it as well. It's an intriguing
almost
show.
Like Godfather,
except he's not the it's like Godfather if with Sonny.
Yeah,
it's like the Godfather if Sonny was put in charge and then Michael was dealing with it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of Always Sonny in Godfather.
Charlie's in charge. Charlie, you still haven't seen Charlie Works. You still haven't.
I have not seen Charlie Works. I got caught up on all of Always Sonny as well, but. I'd recommend Tyrant. The second season has been really good so far.
Cool. I have a mini recommendation. I have a mini and a real one. Mini one is Dominant Species has been on the iPad for a long time. They just revamped it to 2.0, which basically turns a mediocre app game into a pretty awesome app game. They redid the interface, redid how it plays, redid online play, redid AI. So if you like Dominant Species and you had tried the old app and you're like, man, this game kind of sucks... completely revamped, so it's pretty awesome.
If you wait a week and get it then, Brian will be bored of it by then, and you'll never get to play with him.
I played Waterdeep for almost a year and a half before I stopped playing Waterdeep. It took me a year and a half to realize I don't like the game very much. It's been a long time. Anyway, my real recommendation is a war game I just played today, Forbidden Stars. It's a Fantasy Flight game, four-player. It's based on 40K.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
Brian's getting into 40K. You heard it.
40K has one thing going for it. It's the mythos.
I made a comment today. I'm like, if 40K was this much fun, I'd buy 40K. it's a space themed conquer the universe type of a game where you have the orcs and the chaos marines and the ultramarines and the Eldar are the four starting factions. Maybe they'll add more. It's up to four players. And it's basically a mix of the old StarCraft game and Ruin Wars games in a lot of ways. And if you like both of those games, if you're big into four-hour...
Is it designed by Christian...
I was going to double-check the name.
Yeah.
It's either they designed by him or
he's
they
the
just...
the guy who did StarCraft and Game of Thrones.
It seems like this guy could have been involved, but I mean, honestly, they could have just took all his good ideas and someone else could have ran with it. They meshed all the good ideas together, and it worked really well. But you have to be the kind of person who wants high-conflict games that are 4 hours long and just intense insanity and has very asymmetrical factions. Each faction plays very differently.
Asymmetrical factions.
Yeah.
That's Nathan's favorite.
It is, and it's multiple paths of victory. Every time you play the game, the map is changed up. There's these warp storms that move around the map that constantly devolve which way you can and can't go. There's technology upgrades that has a deck, kind of a deck building element like StarCraft had. Where you're
asymmetrical factions in a space combat game where there's a storm that goes around.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't kill things as it moves, though. It just moves. There's no death. Yeah.
I was getting really excited for a while.
But it is really good. But it does... It's great. Combat's great. Everything about the game is fun. Like I said, I played it for 4 hours. I think even if I played with the same people, it would probably still take close to 4 hours.
So are you just going to sell your copies of StarCraft? Are you done with StarCraft?
No, it's different enough that I still get a different joy out of StarCraft. But I definitely still love StarCraft. I don't know if this would is it my favorite game, but... I definitely like having two games like this.
Cool.
We'll see when this game gets an expansion, if it ups amps. Because the original StarCraft with expansion is just decent and good, and the expansion makes StarCraft amazing. We'll see where this goes from here. But it starts off pretty good. I know someone already wants to play me at Gen Con. I'm going to bring it to Gen Con because it's a pretty small box for what it is. But to sit down and play a four-hour game at Gen Con is going to be very hard because you have to have people willing to spend 4 hours on one thing. Which, you know, might be doable. It'd be cool.
Yeah, but Pagani, okay, after hours.
Yeah. So yeah, those are my recommendations.
Hooray! Well,
we should kind of talk about Gen Con. I mean,
Gen Con's in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
we'll be there.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
3 of us will be there. One of us is a loser.
Yep.
You just go.
Well, I got excited because Brian, he started his story and he's like, here's a story that affects me for sure and might affect some other people. So GameholeCon had 3 tickets to Gen Con, and me and one other person each got a ticket to Gen Con. So I thought the might affect somebody else was that he had a spare ticket to Gen Con, and I was getting all excited. No, the might affect somebody else is maybe you'll see him at Gen Con.
Yeah, I mean, well,
that's not might affect other people.
It might affect other people. Some people might.
So for a second, I was excited that he had a spare ticket to Gen Con.
I feel like after the penisode that I'm going to get all the weirdos coming up to me. Like, so
we don't have non-weirdo for people who
I mean, it's no different than normal people.
It's a special brand of weirdo.
That's probably true. Aduro is going to love you.
When I went to the just as an aside, when we went to Wednesday, it was a Wednesday night after the podcast. I was talking to Andy as he was building some Menoth casters for the Who's the Boss, and then we were talking, and then the podcast came up, and the guy that was talking with us said, "Oh, you're the penis guy." I'm like, "Fuck."
See, it would have been better if you joined our podcast like back when we were in the single digits. Or actually even double digits. Because
then you'd be sick of it. Nobody listened to us.
Hoist by your own petard.
Well, yeah. See, one of the things
You're always saying, if I talk about my dick a lot, it'll confuse and it'll be hilarious and people will be grossed out.
It was just a funny story. I like telling funny stories.
You like trying to gross people out with your genital stories. No. And now you've been hoisted by it.
At any
The end.
I hoisted by your own stuff, though, I have done too, so.
Bazinga.
Bazinga, bazinga.
Not a recommendation, though.
All right. We calling it?
Bye, everybody.
I've run out of things to talk about. Hooray.
Good night.
This is a very short episode.
Yeah, well, thank you know. God. It's a very uneventful 2 weeks.
We were really along last time. So we're trying to see what length we're trying to stay at. So it's
we
nice
average
to
out.
Be.
We want to be around an hour and 30.
This is perfect.
I feel bad because I assembled my effort at Scouts and I was missing a piece. So I sent in a bits request and said, I'm missing a piece. And then today I found that piece under my desk.
Well, you know. Mm-hmm.
So, you
those
know.
Those Ephorid Scouts just
you
look
just
amazing.
Let them know.
So I bought a second one.
I need 2 of them. I play trolls.
Yeah.
You have 2 of them already?
No, I need 2.
Oh,
My last purchase was Wrong Eye and Snap Draw.
Wrong Eye and Snap Draw are good.
All right.
Oh, well. But this sounds dangerously like more War Machine talk.
Yep.
Brian's already standing up.
War Machine talk off the clock, too. Oh.
All right.
If you like things that suck, go watch Jupiter Ascending.